right, God is great. I like this room for its sound. Yeah, and the view. Yeah. But there's no candy. There's no candy.
No candy.
No candy, though. Yeah, there's no candy. That's the only thing missing. All right. The Lord is great. Let's turn to Isaiah. And we're going to jump ahead a little bit. We're going to go to 24. Isaiah 24. Yeah, you remember the seven chairs. You remember the first chair. That's the bad person chair. And I tell you, that should be your best chair. That should be your best chair. That should be your best chair. Because, and I know the whole problem in the church today on all the other chairs is they don't want to sit in that first chair and confess that that's who they were. And that's sometimes who they still seemeth to be. You still have that selfishness in you. You still have that bitterness in you. You still have all kinds of things. And if you're afraid, and Christians are, they don't want to admit that they're in chair one or that they were. But all have sinned. And we still judge one another. Oh, you're not a good Christian because look, you sinned again. That is so irrelevant. Such a moot point. First of all, I'm going to tell you why that first chair is so good. God loves sinners. He does not love nice people. He does not love nice people. There is no offer to a nice person. You have to be a sinner. You have to be chair one. You have to. You don't want to be chair two, you know, where you're pretending like you're nice. Or worse, you actually believe you are. It's okay if you're pretending to be nice, but you know you're pretending. That's not a big deal. You just suppress the flesh to get along with people. That is not a bad thing. You lied right there. Yeah, I know, but I didn't want to say what you really asked. And people do it all the time. They just say, you know, whatever, gets them along. But they know that they're not good people. So God doesn't care about that. That's called hypocrisy, but it's a simple, unhidden form. It's right out in the open. Didn't you lie right there? Yeah. So you just confess it readily. You just admit, yeah. But most Christians that I know are playing chair number two, where they actually believe really, truly that ever since Jesus came into their life or something or other, they're good people. And they're getting better. Or at least, you know, they're not evil, bad, nasty. That's not the case. That's not the case. God doesn't even regard that chair as a real chair. That is a lying chair. That is a self-deceived chair. You are self-deceived. There is no goodness in you whatsoever apart from Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You are vain, you are hypocritical, you are evil, you are nasty. And that's why they don't like my preaching. I know why they don't like it, because it's the truth. It's the truth. You're in chair one. That's how you begin. Now, I know none of you are in chair one now. But you have to have started with chair one, and you have to realize, even after you get in through repentance and faith, chair three and four, you still, in your soul, will sin. As though you were still in chair one, and that's the mix-up for people. I thought you were a Christian. I am. Well, why did you just do this and do that? Well, that's normal. The normal Christian life is chair one and four. You can go in a half a sentence between one and then four and then back to one again. It's not hard. So psychology today is stupid as well as witchcraft. It's stupid because it can't grasp what I'm just telling you. They can try all they want to figure out the deception of the human soul, but they'll never figure it out. God figures it out in a second. You're a sinner. I mean, so that's the end of that. I mean, you're finished. It's over. You deserve hell. I mean, so God doesn't fool around with psychology. Well, the reason she did this because her mother did that, and because of that, you know, she was the second born, blah, 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 blah. That is all rubbish. It's the most stupid, ridiculous stuff I ever heard. And when I went to college, I never knew there was a thing like psychology until I went to college and saw P-S-Y-ology. And I said, what's that? You know, I didn't even know what that was. But I soon found out, and the more I got into it, I realized it's not a science. They said Eve had three personalities. I remember that. That's a classic case, that Eve had three personalities. I came up with 17. You know, what did it take me? 8 minutes? You know, I could figure out that this Eve person, I mean, so it's nothing. And I was a pagan. I was a total pagan. I wasn't Christian. I didn't believe in Jesus or anything. I went to a Christian school just because they have to forgive you if you sin, kind of thing. That was about it. Hey, good to go to a Christian school because they have to love Jesus. And, you know, I always lie, cheat, steal, and stuff. So it'd be good to go to a school where they have to forgive you. And it was good because I did get caught stealing. And so it was good that they didn't send me to jail or something. They let me go. And they even let me keep my job in the library where I stole library books. About $10,000 worth. Huh? No, they found them all in my room, hidden under the carpet behind the bunk beds. Behind the bunk beds. We had them. It was really hard. The house mother was old and didn't have that sharp eyes or anything like that. So it took her a long time, but one day she noticed, you know. Oh, and the only reason she noticed because the library said we're missing some books. So maybe some of the students. And I worked in the library, so they started with those that worked there. Because it'd be easy for them to do that. And the real problem was that there was a speaker coming to speak, a Christian speaker. It was a Christian school. And he had just written a book, and it hadn't been, and it was given to the library, but they hadn't yet processed it. And it was right on the librarian's desk. And I had picked it up thinking, hey, this is the guy coming to speak. I think I'll read it before everybody else, find out what the guy has to say. I remember the title. I remember everything about it. And that guy later became a professor of mine at Yale. But at any rate, so I stole that book. And they were trying to find the thing, and they thought, who could take this who has access to the librarian's desk in the back? And sure enough, they found mine. And so I was caught. I went down, cried. I knew how to cry. I am a consummate actor. I knew how to cry. So sorry. You know, and I sounded sincere, and they bought it because they're Christians. And I went out feeling quite happy that not only was I forgiven, not only did I not go to jail and didn't call the police on that robbery, but I got my job. They gave me my job because I was very sincere in my weeping. No, this is the God's truth. Now I'm going to give you a scripture. This is Psalm 51, verse 6. Does anybody know it? 51, David's Psalm, verse 6. No? That's a good one. Yeah, that's true, but that's not the verse. Yes, you've got it. Hugo, read it.
Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make you to know wisdom.
Right. So God desires truth in the inward parts. In other words, don't lie. Because he desires truth there. He wrote it on your heart, first of all. Secondly, gave it through Moses and so on. So you have no excuse for your sins. He wants truth. And you know, most Christians and most non-Christians, they don't want to admit the truth. Did you steal it? You see, I knew that I'd stolen it. I just didn't want to say it to the guy because there's a consequence. So to avoid the consequence, I cried, which really means I lied, because it wasn't even real tears. It was total fake. Did you know that actors can do that? An actor or an actress, I think actresses are really good at it. They're excellent. And I was good at it. I just lied. And the Bible says God desires truth in the inward parts. Chair number two, you know what that is? Not truth. That is me lying about who I am. And I deceived that person, but I didn't deceive myself. Big difference. Chair number one can deceive others, but you ought not deceive yourself. You ought to have truth at least in the inward part. You know you lied. You know you ate the apple. You know you ate the tree, whatever. You know you did it. And I knew that. I went home laughing because I knew I did it, but I got away with it. And I was not interested in sinning. I was only interested in covering. But my cover was light. You know, it wasn't fig leaves. It wasn't, you know, some kind of where I'm innocent, pretending to be innocent, but I knew I was pretending. And I still do it now. Peggy is amazed how, I think you probably notice that sometimes I still exaggerate and lie. Have you ever noticed that? And I do. And I do it for no reason at all. I mean, there's not even reason for me to do it, but I just love doing it. I'm so used to it. It's a habit. And Jesus, I'm sure, will knock it out, you know, in his good time. But I just love exaggerating and lying. How many were in church this morning? Oh, I don't know. We had maybe 50 to 100. I don't know. I just lie. Because I hate to say we only had, you know, 23 or something. I just don't want to say it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You see, I exaggerated twice on that one. So it's just, it comes natural with me. I'm a natural born sinner. And God desires truth in the inner parts. Then in the 16th verse, he says, I hate your sacrifices. In other words, I hate your fig leaves. I hate your lying to me as though I couldn't see right through you. I hate it. So he loves chair number one. I want truth in the inward parts. But chair number two, where you're pretending to be a good Christian, I hate that. Now, here's the truth. Here's, yes. Did you say something? Oh, yeah, it's good. Praise God. And, you know, I thank God they're all honest people. They're all honest people. Honest to goodness people. So I hate when you hide your sin. You see, what God wants is not that you don't sin. He doesn't care about that. How many know God forgives sinners? He forgives them. He comes to them and makes an offer to them. If you will only confess that you did sin in the inward parts. I desire truth in the inward parts. Truth is Jesus. I desire Jesus to be in your inward parts, pointing out your sin. You see, Jesus, actually, when he comes into your inward parts, you realize, hey, I never did follow my conscience. Did you know you could blunt your conscience? Yeah, you could just blunt it. But I could hear my conscience and ignore it. Just ignored it. I didn't cover it all with suppression and repression. I just ignored it. I didn't want to listen to it because it'll stop me from sinning. I had a higher law, a higher goal, sin. I loved lying, cheating, stealing. I loved that. I was proud of myself. I actually had an inordinate pride in my capacity to steal things and people couldn't catch me or lie or whatever. And I was so good. And besides, it saves you a lot of time. Instead of studying for a test, just cheat. Instead of paying for the thing, just steal it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, why walk in and stand in a big line? I don't know about you, but I get impatient in those big lines. Yesterday I went to, what do they call it, those long, foot-long things?
Subway.
I went to Subway because Peg didn't want to cook and so on and so. She said, you go up and get some Subway. So I got them. But there were 10 people ahead of me in the line, and it was only one girl. And there was nobody else, nobody in the back, nobody else, just this one girl trying to do all this stuff. So it took quite a bit of time, you know, throwing the stuff on the thing and so on. I thought, I probably should go to another Subway. But I stuck it out because she seemed to be a sincere person, you know. But she was just, you know, beside herself. There's no way. And I said to her later when I got up to her, I said, you sure do work fast. And then she said, no, I'm not. I'm just falling apart. I said, no, isn't there supposed to be two people here and one in the back? There isn't. So you're kind of doing this all by yourself. You should get a reward for this. So I was building her up, but of course she just had to keep, pay. I got to get to the next customer. Now, you see how wicked we are. Chair number one, that's who you really are, apart from Christ. Apart from Christ. And then once you become a Christian, you're still in chair one. Because your heart is renewed, but your soul is not. That's why all these other chairs. These are all not just to save your heart, but your soul and your body and your life and everything. That's why you need all these chairs in order to get to chair number seven. So that's your eternal destiny chair, your throne room chair. So this is where you all want to get, but you have to be here where you're actually a lover, totally Christ-like. And then you have to go through this furnace chair, this fire chair, this chastening chair. Nobody wants that one. And then you get saved, born again in your heart, but not in your soul yet. He has to clean your soul. And then you have to sit in this chair repenting of the fact that not only did you sin in chair number one, but you lied in chair number two to yourself and to God. You tried to fool God out to say, I'm a good person. Now, I know you don't think like I do, but anyway, I think this out a lot. I like to, because I like to catch people in their lies. I love it. I don't say it to them. I just, on my inside, I went, very clever. That was good. You are a good phony. You are a good fake, and you will never grow. You will not grow. That's why I like everybody to come to the furnace chair under discipleship, where then we can knock all that sin out of them and catch all the little hidden. Did you know that the heart is deceitful above all things? Okay, so when you get a new heart, it's not. But you still have a soul. You're still yourself. That's the one that produced all those sins, was the self. So you still have to get rid of your tree. Remember, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Knock the tree down. New tree, new fruit. Old tree, old fruit. So you have to catch everybody's root system. Isn't that exciting? That's my job, not your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Shows me what you're lying about and what you're doing. Isn't that amazing? When I pray for you every day, the Lord will show me your sin. Isn't that amazing? So it takes a while to pray. It takes a long time because some of you have three and four sins. No, really. I'm serious. Even Alex with a smile on your face, phony, fake. I mean, I could see right through it. How many know Alex is a phony? Amen. See? It's not hard. It's not that hard to spot. Especially if you are one, you recognize him right off. So that's good. Now, let's read the 24th chapter, because this is the God judging not only Israel, but also the world. Because everybody sits in chair number one. Everybody is a natural born liar. And you have the law of God written in your heart. Everybody has it. Everybody has it. Even those that say they don't have it. Oh, there's no such thing as natural law. There's no such thing as conscience. You know, yes, there is. It doesn't matter if you say there isn't or you say there is. That's just clever of someone to say there isn't because they've sinned. So I said, I didn't hear my conscience. No, I didn't hear God. So if you go to SMU, they do not believe in natural law. Actually, there is a professor there that does at the law school. He's good, too. But anyway, but most of them don't want to say that because they don't want to admit that there's a natural law that we're all under. So some people say, well, you know, I think what we're doing is fine. That's just the wicked deceiving themselves so they don't have to face the consequences of not. Being honest, being true. But Jesus is the truth that says to chair number one, I love you, and number two, I don't even believe in you. That you're a good person, that you've done good, that you could be good, that you ought to be good, you should be good. You never were. Never ought to be, could be, should be. You're just a liar. Pure and simple. You're fake, you're phony, you're hateful, you're wretched, you're God killer, you know, whatever. That's it. So that's the end of that matter. Now, I totally buy that because I've always been that. I believe I have never thought of myself as good, decent, kind, or anything. I don't believe I have ever thought of that. I've always thought of myself as devious and so on. From the time I was small, I just always thought selfish. I never thought selfless. I never thought altruistic, caring for others. That's never occurred to me. Even as a Christian, I've never thought that. Even after I was born again, I still didn't think it. In my mind, I've never thought it. I've always thought he forgives sinners. I've thought that. But I've never thought that I wasn't a forgiven sinner deserving of hell and could you know, couldn't rely on the fact that Jesus forgave me and saved me, so therefore I'm okay. I'm the righteous of Christ. I'm the righteous of Christ. I'm the righteous of Christ. I never bought that theology. And I see those people deceiving themselves because they believe in Jesus. Somehow that makes them new people. No, it makes you a new heart. But you still have your own rotten soul, and your behavior stinks to high heaven. So Christians still have sin. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. I love the baptism of fire. Do y'all see that? All right. So let's look at the judgment now, not only of Babylon and the whole world, but the judgment of Israel, that is Judah. Now, Judah is the good people. That is the chair two people. That is the self-righteous. I believe that even if I don't do good all the time, I ought to. Or I believe I have a little bit. Or I believe I've done some good things. You see, your mind is way off. You've done nothing good. And I don't care even if the Holy Spirit did it. It doesn't count and it doesn't get you in anywhere. So why do you want to hang on to it as though you did it? You didn't did it. That was the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if a good work came out of you, it was a miracle. It wasn't you. You didn't do it. You don't get credit for that. You certainly don't go to heaven because you ever did a good work, because you never did a good work, even after you're a Christian. The good works that you do are actually done by Him. You have to give Him all the credit and all the glory. And by the way, the only way you get into heaven is by none of those works. You can have all of those works galore. They don't get you into heaven. It's Jesus' life that gets you into heaven. His good works, which He imputes to you, which He reckons to you, which He accounts to you. So that's why you're happy all the time. And I am. I'm happy all the time because I'm perfect all the time. Why? Because I rely on Jesus. But I know I'm not. I'm never thinking I am. That thought does not come into my head. I'm sorry. You might think, well, Pastor, don't you sometimes think you're, good or decent or something? Never. I've never have. I am grateful every day. I told you, I get in the shower every day. I'm just grateful to have a shower. I can't believe I get a shower. That's like, wow. Because we didn't grow up with plumbing. We didn't grow up with, all those amenities. And so on and so forth. So I'm still, to this day, I'm so grateful. I got my own shower. I can't believe it. And so, but I don't count my gratitude as a virtue. I count it just as thank you, Jesus. It's just thank you, Jesus. I don't deserve anything. I deserve to be dead. I am totally comfortable with my sin, and I'm totally comfortable with His salvation, which God loves sinners. I'm totally into that. I never moved from chair one. That the only reason I got to chair three to repent of all that was I didn't just repent of one, I also repented of two, which I never did. I was never into, how great I am or how good I am. I was into, lying about it, but I wasn't into actually believing I was self-righteous or good or great or glorious. I've never felt that. But Peggy, she constantly is amazed at that. Thank you for getting what do you call those long, foot-long things? Subways. Thank you for getting those subways, Peg. There was no virtue on my part. I just did it. I mean, I just did it. Maybe Jesus wanted to do it or something, but it's not a big deal to me because I don't count my goodness as goodness. I count it all as Jesus. Because I know in an instant I could turn and say, okay, well then you do something for me now or whatever. I mean, I am not good. Now, is there anyone in this room that is liketh unto me? Thank you. Thank you. Good. Because you're free then. If you're not like me, you're wrong. I'm just telling you, because I am exactly like the Bible wants you to be, which is truth in the inward parts reveals there's nothing good in you. The only thing good in you is Jesus. I desire truth. What He's really saying is not, I want you to be honest. What He's really saying is, I want Jesus Christ to be in your inward parts. Because he's the Savior that forgives sinners, and he's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost that changes those sinners after they've been forgiven. So he chops down not only the fruit, knocks that all off, but he chops the tree down. And I know I'm growing in the Lord, but that's purely by faith. I don't feel it, don't understand it, don't want to have, you know, I don't even will it. That's just my new will does it, and I just believe it. My faith, everything I do lives by faith. I totally believe in the Bible. Just whatever the Bible says, that's me. I never psychology. I never think, Jim, what are you feeling right now? What are you thinking right now? It's worthless to me. It doesn't matter what I want, what I feel, what I think. I am not interested in my psychology at all. And I got out of psychology after a couple of, you know, courses on it. I went, this is rubbish. Now, I could have easily gotten another degree in it because I did study it all. I looked at it and saw it was rubbish. I saw, first of all those little charts and, you know, little statistic things and whatever. That was just window dressing. You know, and they were just trying to make a point and then put some numbers in there so it looked like 52%, you know, and so on. The latest survey says, you know, it's just scientific gibberish. And it had no meaning at all. They were just trying to prove something. Out of 15 people that we gave this poison to, 14 of them died, you know. So they make some kind of a thing out of it. And so I knew it was all rubbish because it was just trickery, deception. Psychology is witchcraft. Here's the Bible. We regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, psychology, philosophy, all that stuff. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So he doesn't want that. So he doesn't want us psychologizing, analyzing ourselves, other people, God, the devil. He doesn't want you thinking about anything. Why think? Think on things that are holy, that are pure, that are true, that are just, that are righteous. That's it. So there, I don't care what I'm actually thinking. I think what the Bible says I'm thinking. Oh God, what am I thinking right now? You're thinking right now that Peggy is your beloved. Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, Peg, I love you. You're the best. And I tell her that all the time. She's always surprised. Well, how can you say that? Because she's thinking psychologically. She's thinking I really mean it. She's thinking I psychologically mean it. Do you all understand that? She's thinking that's something she could rely on. Peg, I'm just saying what the Bible says. Don't take me as a sincere person. Do y'all understand? Because God hates sincerity. If God loves sincerity, then you would go to heaven because you were sincere. He's the only one that's sincere. I'm not sincere. I don't want to be sincere. It's a labor. Come unto me, all the labor and the heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'm rested. Why? Because I'm just walking here by this Bible. By this truth. I don't care if I feel it. I don't care if I understand it. I don't care if I want it. I just blow that off. I know that I know that I know that I'm a new creation. How do you know that? I just know it. Well, do you feel it? I don't know. I don't even care about it. Well, do you understand it? I don't know. I don't think about that either. Well, do you want that? I guess. I don't know. I don't think about it. So those are irrelevant to me. Now, do you all understand? I'm just saving you hundreds of dollars of psychiatric treatment, of sociological, you know, you don't need to have counselors and whatever. You don't need it. I'm just telling you, this is cheaper. This mine is cheap. You don't have to even give them the offering today. Don't even worry about it. It's free. All of this is your whole life. That's truth. There's the truth right now. We were born in sin. Can I hear an amen? Okay. And then, I hope you didn't go to chair number two, which is, I'll pretend like I'm self-righteous. My works righteousness, I've done some good works. Naturally, I did them by the flesh, but God accepts them. I hope nobody was in that chair. But in case you were, that's forgiven too. When you get to chair number three, he'll say, repent not only of chair one, but also of chair two. So, I don't need the chair two one, but you may. Some of you were good, you tried to be good, you ought to be good, you should have been good. I never had those thoughts. I always was devious, I always thought devious, I always thought selfish. I've been selfish from the day I was born, when I came out. You know, I remember coming out. Because my mom had tried to abort me four times. And I was only thinking of survive. Could I survive this woman who tried to kill me because grandmother made her. Grandmother made me, you know. And when she told me that, because I was quite old when she told me that, when she told me that, I said, well, hallelujah. You tried to abort me? That was cool. How'd you do it? But it's just like a scientific thing to me. It's not of any real interest. I mean, it has nothing to do with it. Mom, I love you. I don't care. I don't care if you tried to abort me. I only care that God saved me when I was not even a Christian. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. And he saved me in the little womb there. But I was trying to squirm around. All that stuff was coming in and sticks and whatever she put in there and to try to get rid of me. And it didn't work. Isn't that neat? Y'all don't think it's funny. I think it's funny because I don't care about it. It's just like, you know, an Old Testament or something. I don't live there. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Is anybody else like that? So why would I ever think about that stuff? I don't care about it. And when I met my, you know, original biological one-night stand father, first thing I told him is, hey, I love you unconditionally. I don't know anything about you. I don't care about what you are. You're the best because you brought me into the world. And I just loved him for no reason. And what I found out is real life. The second time we met, he told me it was real life. You know, wow, you are horrible. And I love that. That's good. Just like me. Hey, I was just like you. I was just like you. Because his brothers were all mafia. His, you know, anyway, it's all crazy. The whole thing is crazy. He worked for Jimmy Hoffa. It's a bad guy. And so on and so forth. So I come of really rotten stock. And I've never had self-pity. I've never felt sorry for myself. I don't feel like, oh, I wish I'd had a better beginning. I like that, you know, we didn't have food. You know, we were dirt poor. We had three families living in a two-car garage. I love that stuff. Who cares? I'm here. Amen. Who cares about my past? Forgetting those things that lie behind. I press forward to the high holy mark. You all see that? Because Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There's my theology. I love it. I love it. Now, I say all this to scandalize your flesh. Because if your flesh wants decency or goodness out of people, you're going to be disappointed. But I just want you to know, I don't want you to be good. I don't want you to be decent. I don't want you to be kind. I want Jesus to do whatever he wants to do. And you can just be whatever you want to be. I love you just as you are, just like Jesus. Why? Because it says so in this book. This book is a description of me. It's not just telling me what I ought to be. It's telling me what I really am. And I am no longer am. Because Christ is in me, the hope of glory. So I have redone my mind. Y'all see this? I don't think. I think now like the way Jesus says, think on things that are holy, that are pure. And when I don't, right away, I just go, that's sin, get out of here, bye-bye. And now I don't think that. Because I can do that in seconds. I can hate you without any problem at all. Because that just means I'm selfish, just want for me, the hell with you. I can do that in a second. I can do that without even trying. I can just do it. If I saw somebody here sleeping or not paying attention, I could just hate you just like that. Like, God, kill that person. You know, that would be nothing for me. It's not big deal at all. Now, is there anyone here like me? Oh, good. I'm talking to the choir. I love that. But I know there's some of you that still are chair tours. You know, you still want people to be decent and kind and reliable. I don't want any other gods. I only want one to rely upon, Jesus. I only want one word, one truth, one authority in my life. And that's why I believe everything that happens to me is always rigged so that I win. Much better than being selfish. God does it. That's better. I don't even have to get what I want. I don't even want anything anymore. Because Jesus supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Woohoo! I don't even have to pray correctly. I don't have to do anything. Jesus just does it because he likes me. Isn't that amazing? He's totally favorable to me. I didn't make him that way. He made himself that way. That's the way he is. He am what I was not, but now am. Because he am loves me. And now he changed my am. So I love sitting in all these chairs. I love these chairs. And I love the judgment. Now listen here to the judgment. This is the judgment. You need this judgment to kill your flesh. God loves sinners, okay? But he separates the sin from the sinner. Even though you're a sinner in chair one, he'll separate that sin from you. He'll separate that sin. And if you don't, you'll have to go to chair two. But I bought that. Okay, good. And then I repent of those two chairs. And then I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me while I was yet a sinner, chair one. But he died for me, and I believe that I'm a new me. even though I don't see any evidence of it, I don't want to know about it, I just believe it, the word says it, and faith cometh by hearing, and so now I believe. So this is my belief chair, this is my, I'm a new creation chair, and here I am, a new creation. And all it is a new heart. Then he says, Jim, come here to this fire chair. So I sit in this discipleship, fire, instruction, training, chastising chair. I love this chair. This doesn't kill me. It just kills the old me, that chair won me, so that's no longer me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me and loves me and all that stuff. Okay, so now I'm really a new creation. I say that to myself. I need to. So I say, Jim, don't forget you're a new creation. Oh, yeah, I looked in the mirror and I forgot. Oh, yeah, I looked in the mirror, I forgot. Because that when that person said that, I wanted to just hit him. But then I forgot. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm a new creation. You all see that? See, and I don't have to feel it. I don't have to understand it. I just believe it. Faith cometh by hearing. I read it. Oh, yeah, I'm a new creation. The love of God has been spread abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. That's it. So now I love my mother. I love my wife. I love my enemies. I love everybody. And that's it. I love church members. I love hypocrites. I love liars. I love everybody. You see, I don't check myself. I don't have a self anymore. I crucify that by sitting in the fire. Then after I sit in the fire, I become a lover, a Christian who's actually doing, not just believing, not just here's the believing chair. Here, right here is the dying out to myself crucified with Christ chair. And here is the doing chair where I'm actually doing the will of God. But it's not perfect. Every day it starts all over again. And every day I go back to chair one, two, yeah, and so on. So I don't have any problem with that because I'm not looking at progress. I'm only trusting Jesus that the good work he began, he'll surely complete. Do y'all see that? So there's no effort in me. There's no sweat in me. You don't catch me sweating. You don't catch me, you know, worrying or all those sins. Why? Because I don't need them. I don't need them. Why should I worry when Jesus worries? He's the one that stays up at night. Be not anxious. So it says in the book, so I'm not. And I don't care if I am or not. You see, when I say I'm not, that's just a faith statement. But I don't care because I know he'll send me through the fire because he's just telling me I'll send you through the fire if you are. And then pretty soon I'll be purified. And that's what's happening to Israel. Israel is about to come into faith because she's always been chair number two. Israel's always been a chair number two person. They've always said we're self-righteous, we've done good, we're trying to keep the Torah. We're not perfect, no, but we're still doing the best we can. Total explanation, talk, waste. That's like Adam and Eve talking to God. You know, well, the woman thou gavest me, I accuse you, God, you gave us to me. And they accuse one another, accuse God, excuse themselves. He didn't buy any of that. And they're still there. I hope nobody here in this room is still there. If you're a liar, be one. Be a good one. Be a good liar. Be clever as you can be. Sin to the hilt. But if you're a hypocrite, okay, fine, be a hypocrite. Just don't lie to yourself. Just lie to God if you want. He's okay. He can see right through it. Lie to others. That's no problem. There's no problem. I'm not bothered when people lie to one another. They do it all the time. Even if you say you don't, you do. Especially if you say you don't, then I know you do. I don't buy you. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. Why? Because God loves sinners. He loves them. He doesn't love people that are hypocrites. Especially the serious kind where I really am doing what I ought to do and I suppressed myself and I stuffed all my feelings. I stuffed all my, you know, I controlled myself with my thoughts. You know, chair number one is an emotional person. I mean, their emotions just run them. Chair number two is very intelligent. You have to go to college for this, you know, to have your mind developed so that you can control that nasty self and bury it and suppress it and, if possible, repress the thing so you don't even know about it yourself. I don't even know that I know that. You know, that's a lot of work. I tell you, that is a lot of labor. You get a PhD in laboring. You know, that is awesome. I love it. But, you know, it's a waste. I love Jesus. Just comes along and he loves this emotion-run person because, you know, your emotions are supposed to be the caboose. But most people put them as either the car or the coal car or the engine. You know, but I know, hey, I'm evil as can be without Jesus. But because he's forgiven me, I'm not evil anymore. I'm completely pure, perfect. When I get before God, I just say perfect. If I die today, even though I haven't cleaned up everything in my life, if I die today, it's okay. I just go, well, praise the Lord. People may hate me or whatever, misunderstand. I don't care. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You see that? He loves me in the midst of my everything, my sins, my whatever. So never apologize for who you are. So whether you're a chair one person and just faking it as a chair two person, or whether you're really a chair three person who's repentant of all that stuff, that was the work of the Holy Spirit, or whether you're a believer, all of that's all God. He does every chair. He does them all. So he loves number one, doesn't need to love number two, because number two just is a number one, you know, lying deeply. He doesn't even see a two. You know, in other words, he didn't see Adam and Eve with their fig tree things on them. He just simply saw right through the figs and said, "You're naked." Remember, they said, "We were naked and we hid ourselves." God said, "Well, who told you that? Satan? Did you figure it out yourselves? I know good and evil. Did I tell you you were evil?" "I guess not." "Well, you are." So there you have it. Don't guess anymore. And so, but it's up to God to judge the heart. How many know that you cannot judge your own heart? You cannot judge just by the outer fruit. Anybody can fake it. Remember the queen? Remember the queen in Alice in Wonderland? She liked the roses to be red. And so the little, you know, helpers were painting all the roses red. But they weren't really red. The fact that you fake it and you pretend like, you know, the roses are red. And when the queen found out that they deceived her, she was wroth. You remember that? And they all scurried and ran away. The queen's going to chop her head off with their heads. I love it. Now, that is a wrathful queen, but God is not like that. God doesn't care that you're a one or a two, because two is just one anyway. He loves sinners. So all you got to do is be yourself, truth in the inward parts. And then Jesus now is in my heart and in my soul and in my life and in the church. And I just love Jesus. He is so good. He does it all. All right, here. "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty." You haven't seen that. You haven't seen the earth empty. But I'm telling you, it's getting real close. Pretty soon you're going to discover the earth is empty. And what he meant was, I've devastated the nations. And even though Babylon hadn't risen up and destroyed Judah yet, pretty soon he's prophesying it's going to happen. And then I'm going to destroy Babylon. And after that, I'm going to use Persia. And after that, I'll destroy them. And after that, I'll use Greece. And after that, I'll use Rome and so on. He's got it all rigged so that after seven times, Israel, not us, Israel will be purified. The sons of Levi, purifying the sons of Levi. In other words, he will send them through Jacob's trouble. 3.5 years of sorrow. 3.5 years of proving you're not in chair two, you're in chair one. And then once they get to chair one, they realize they killed God's son. Because that's your sin. Your real sin only is kill Jesus, God's son. "I'll show you what, God, I'll kill your son." It's like, cool. That's why I sent him. Why do you think I sent him? So we could kill him? Yes. That's why I sent him. How many know everybody here has killed Jesus? It's your sins that were laid upon him. That's why he died. He came deliberately for that. He just came down and he didn't even hide himself. He just went out in the open. Tell him, "You hypocrites, you liars." It kind of stirred him up. They call religious people hypocrites and liars. Did you know that they don't like that? And it brings out not their nice self, but it brings out their nasty self. In other words, you can just, by calling chair number two a hypocrite and a liar, you can make them a chair one. No, seriously. Because they just get angry at you. "Are you saying I'm not a good Christian? You're a Methodist." My grandmother was a Methodist. My mother was a Methodist. And they were good Methodists, too. But just by saying, you know, you're just a nominal Christian, you're not a real Christian, you bring out their rage. You know, they were nice people 5 minutes ago, but you just brought out their rage. Did you know you can do that to anybody on earth? Yep. If anybody on earth is a hypocrite and a liar, you can bring it out by just saying, you know, God's going to catch you for being a liar. You're a rotten person and you know it. That can make them mad. And they just get so mad. Have you ever seen that? That's, by the way, very healthy. You'll never get cancer. When you come out, chair one, instead of burying it and hiding it and, you know, repressing it and suppressing it and all that stuff. Just come out and be yourself. You know what? That's the one Jesus loves. When you're at your worst, that's when he is at his best. He loves sinners. That is the most amazing truth in the whole world. How could God, who's holy, love sinners who disobeyed him, did everything he said not to do, did nothing that he said to do? How could he love sinners? That's the amazing truth. To me, that's good news. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. That guy that wrote that song was a slave ship guy. And he shipped slaves all over the world. And, you know, and he then realized, you know what? I am an evil person. He just came to it. I am evil. And not only that, I deliberately did it. Amazing grace. But Jesus Christ has set me free. And he's the one that influenced the guy that wrote the movie Amazing Grace. It's really about the guy that swept the floor, not about the guy that was in the parliament. Because that's the guy that wrote the song. It came right out of his heart because he realized God loves me, a wicked sinner. So I'm comfortable with that. And I know, Hugo, you come from a wicked, sinful background. Yeah. And so Hugo and I are okay. And Roxy, you were raised religion and Christian and all that stuff, but you were actually not a very good one. So that's good, because you confessed it, and that's the one Jesus loves. How many know you could come up with the sins that you do are only sins to hurt God, deliberately chosen? Let's see, what will hurt God the most? That's what I think I'll become. And everybody has it secretly inside of them, even if you don't express it and bring it out, and you're hiding it all over the place. The truth is, that's what you're doing just to hurt God. That's just how nasty you are. But God loves you. He loves you while you're nasty. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. I love this. Now, I probably have to go in a few minutes, but I'll never make it through this thing. This is so good. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste. He turns it upside down, scatters abroad the inhabitants thereof. In other words, that is a holocaust. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. In other words, as the people of America are debauching themselves and lying and doing whatever they're doing. So it's because of the pastors. It's the priests, the imams, the pastors. Those are the ones that are causing it. What? Yeah. It's actually the church. Let judgment begin in the household of God. So the real problem today in the world is not the people, it's the priests. It's the pastors. It's the imams. It's the religious folks that aren't really religious. They're number twos rather than number ones. Because they don't really have Jesus abiding in them. They actually just have their own juices. Or they have Jesus in their heart, but they're wise. No, they're foolish virgins. They got justified, but they didn't get sanctified. They stopped at chair number four. Huh. You can't do it that way. You can't be a pastor just because you're justified. You also have to be sanctified. You have to have a holy life. And I do. So I'm not apologizing. I'm just explaining that I didn't do it. He did it. He's doing it. I don't even try to help him out. I don't pretend. I never pretend with him. I never fake him out. I never come with fig leaves and all that nonsense. But you know what? He's doing it anyway. He loves me. And I totally rely on him. Jesus, help me. Thank you. Glory. And he loves it. You can ask Peggy. I'm always happy. That's one of the things she hates about me. They hate it. They're always happy. Well, hallelujah. I love you, Peggy. You're the best wife I've ever had. You're glorious. What an amazing woman thou art. And I mean it. I mean, Jesus means it. Did you hear the difference? Jesus means that. So that's the truth. And it sets you free. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. If you continue in my word. Not if you stop at four, but if you go on to five and then into six. So I want all of the punishment that God has in five, so that I'm completely done with sin, not only in my heart, but also in my soul, but also in my life. So I'm clean. And I come out, I don't hide anything. I don't hide anything from anybody. I would tell you even more if you could handle it, but I know most people, it would ruin your mask. You know, so just keep your masks. It's okay, he still loves you. How many know he loves people with masks? Even hypocrites, when he said on the cross, Father, forgive them. He's talking about the hypocrites that were standing out there. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So whether it's chair one or chair two, it doesn't make any difference to him. They're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the only way God can do this is God has to do it. He can't help you. Could you help me out? Could you please help me? I'm trying to get you cleaned up. Could you cooperate a little bit? God does not want you to cooperate a little bit. Well, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. He doesn't care. Well, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. I wish you would help me a little bit and stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Logan, I know you've grieved the Holy Spirit. But He loves you while you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Because He knows you can't do it anyway. He's just trying to show you something. You can't do it. You can't change yourself. You can't improve. You can't fix up. Just be what you are. I love you. So He wants to love us just the way we are, even as Christians who are not very good. How many know that the problem is not us, it's Him? He made the promise. He made the promise. Too bad. Too bad. So Jesus has to fix us up before He comes back. The bride hath made herself ready. But what if she doesn't? What if she doesn't make herself ready? You know what? Jesus will do it. Jesus will help you to get ready. Why? This is his promise. That was His promise. If He said, I will present you as a bride chaste before the Lord. Remember Paul said that? Every man mature in Christ. I'm going to present you as a bride chaste before the Lord. If you're going to be a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that's a work of Jesus. I would say that's not a human work. Even if you're born again. Even if you're spirit-filled. Even if you go to Pastor Jim's church. It doesn't help. Nothing helps. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, I love that blood. Woohoo! That gets me in the chair four. Then He gives me the Holy Spirit because He sees I got the blood. Everybody that has the blood gets the Holy Spirit. If you want it. But He won't force it. He won't force it. Oh, Pastor, then I have to choose it? What do you mean you have to? You want to. Oh, I don't know if I do. I got to help you. It's offered if you don't want it. That's because you still believe in this other baloney here. As long as you still believe in the other baloney, you won't grow. You won't grow. You won't grow. I'm not getting you to waste time. I don't even care that you're not growing. I only deal with the ones that are growing. Why would I go to a tree that has fruit all over it and some of it's ripe and some of it's not ripe? Why pull on the ones that are not ripe yet? Just take the ones that are ripe because they fall off in your hand. But then why yank on the tree and knock all the good fruit down and the bad fruit while I'm trying to get some, you know, you're supposed to be ripe. I'm not going to do it. I just wait another day or two. It'll be ripe. You see that? Especially when they see the ripe ones falling off so easily. So the way to make people jealous is to show, and that's what Israel, we're making her jealous by the mercy of God. It's God, that person was rotten, no good. No, just ripe. So, got to pick up all the ripe fruit. Y'all see that? So is He going to have a pure church, spotless? Yes, because it's His promise, not mine. It's His obligation, not mine. It's His word, not mine. Why would I do God's work for Him when He's the only worker? No one else works but God. Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So I'm resting. He's working. My Father worketh still, and I work. So Jesus is the worker who's the trustee of God who's doing the work. It's actually the Father. When Jesus does something, He doesn't do it. It's actually the Father that does it. He said, no. Did you think I did the good work? Wrong. It's the Father who dwelleth in me that doeth the work. You see that? If He doesn't work, why would I work? And the work that He does is not work at all because it's just the Father's work, which is just the Word of God. That's all. Whatever God says, that's the way it'll be. And in the end day, when the judgment comes, everything that's not right will be gone. It'll just disappear, gone. And so you, however, your works will be gone, but you will have to be in the lake of fire, gnashing teeth, worms coming in and out, fire all over you. Woohoo! I don't know, that's not for me. I'm not into that. Do y'all see that? And did I do anything to get out of it? No, I didn't. I just heard the word and I believed. I heard the word and I didn't believe. I heard the word and I didn't believe. I heard the word and I didn't believe. But one day I just believed. Who did that? I don't know. I don't know how it worked. All I know is I did believe. And I still do. I am so excited now. I'm so alive now. I thought I was alive before. Now I realize that wasn't life at all. That was death. Now life, joy, peace, hope, you know, all that stuff. Ooh, woo! It gets better and better as the days go by. Sweeter and sweeter. I love those Baptist songs. Sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. You know, they're so shallow and cheap, but they're accurate. That's really the way it is. That is powerful. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with the master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. He's talking about Israel. He's also talking about Babylon. After Babylon has done her work on Israel, take her through the furnace, which she refused. I tell you, six times Israel's refused the furnace. The last one was Adolf Hitler. With Adolf Hitler and all of his monkey business, they were supposed to say, "We're sorry, God." Instead, they accused God. God, wouldn't this be a good time? Come, deliver us. Show that you love your people. And he did. He just left them. Because they didn't cry out and say, "It's our fault. It's not Adolf Hitler punishing you. I'm doing it. I'm allowing it. Because you haven't learned your lesson yet. That you are chair one. Adolf Hitler's not chair one and you chair two. You're not better than Adolf Hitler. Well, he's demonic. What are you? A small D." No. We're all alike. Did you know that we're all alike? Did you know everybody's the same? So I'm not a respecter of persons because God's not a respecter of persons. Everybody's identical. Now, the only difference is his word. If his word gets into you, you could believe. So that's why we preach the word every Sunday, same word, always the same, dress it up differently, but it's the same. It's just the same. God loves sinners, forgives sinners, changes sinners, purifies sinners, protects sinners, blesses sinners, and finally, they're not any sinners any longer. They're totally ready for the chair. And as soon as that happens, we all go back. So the bride has made herself ready. We are being made ready right now. I love it. I love it. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes. Oh, and by the way, this refers to us. This refers to our own day. This is happening today in the world. It's desolate. It is being judged. And America is being judged. And the only hope of America is Texas. I don't know. You didn't see the humor there. But that's okay. Texas is doing it the right way. Why? Because we're sinners down here and we repent and believe in Jesus and, you know, we just, hey, Jesus, do whatever it takes. But we're not going to follow the way of the world. Why? Because of Jesus. It's not because of, you know, humanism or, you know, being kind to the neighbor or something. It's just because, hey, we just do it the way we do it. Because Jesus, you know, Jesus tells us to do it. So we're keeping our guns. Boom. And we're keeping our bullets and, you know, we're keeping everything. How many know that Texas is wicked, wild, untamable? You know, so we're not bending and bowing to the sweetness and the humanism and the let's be kind to our neighbors and let's put our garbage in these bags and so on. We're not buying all that stuff. It's just, okay, it's the law, we'll do it. But, you know, it's not a Jesus law. That's just a human law to force you to do good. Force you and punish you when you don't do good. It's not bad. It's just, you know, you're polluting the earth, you're this. They're just making all that stuff up. That's the same as that psychology book with those little charts in it. You know, I told you, I went to the dean of the school, and I showed the dean, I said, "Dean, I have to talk to you about something. I don't believe in psychology." And I was taking psychology, so I want to get out of the class because it's stupid. I don't believe in it. I thought he was going to kick me out of the school. I had no idea what he was going to say, because when he said, "Close the door," I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to get it now. Because I was going to tell him, it's not scientific, and so on. So he closed the door, and his first words out of his mouth is, "I agree with you." Whoa, that's in your school. You're the dean. You're the top guy. "I agree with you. You're right. You need to take philosophy from me." So I became a philosophy student after that. I never went to him and said, "Philosophy is a vain deceit." It's rubbish, you know. Because I loved every minute of it, but I knew it was all rubbish, you know, and so on and so forth. So I enjoyed, you know what school did for me? Instead of teaching me how brilliant man is, it just taught me how stupid man is. You know, it didn't teach me how brilliant the mind is. It taught me how stupid the mind is. I did not learn what I was supposed to learn to go to Harvard and Yale and all these places where I had scholarships. I learned the opposite, that you cannot trust man at all. I never learned that you could trust him. And everybody else came out thinking, "Oh, wasn't Professor so-and-so wonderful?" and so on. I thought, yeah, he's a jerk. He didn't know anything. You know, he just learned that stuff in books. Anybody can do it. It's just a, you know, clever little deal. So I have no respect for all of that. I want you to know that. I hate civilization. I hate all of its advances. They're not advances at all. The more you solve two diseases, you get seven more that you can't solve. The more you get dishwashers and you throw your old washboard away, the more you discover with all that free time, you're just going to watch stupid TV and you're just going to get boozed up and drugged up and stuff. You know, you didn't do anything good. Happiness didn't increase with all those time-saving things. And, you know, the housewife will be able to do this and do that. It's not true. There's still just drudgery. People are more miserable today than they are in Africa where they have nothing. You go there and they're happy, aren't they? Are they not happy? I mean, there are people there being raped, being killed, being murdered, you know, starved, everything. Those people are happy. We don't know anything. All our civilization hasn't improved a thing. People are not happier today than Adam and Eve in the garden. It's the same. All right. Now, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof because, here's why, they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Why is the earth languishing? Why is the earth falling apart? Simple. Sinned against God. Didn't buy God. Lese majeste. Didn't regard his person. Spit on him. Despised him. That's all. Just admit it. You're in chair number one. Even if you're in chair number four, you're still in chair number one. Every day you got to start all over again. Oh yeah, I still have sinned. I know not from the heart. Chair number four. I got a new heart. But you know what? Chair number five, I don't want the furnace. I don't want to suffer. Please help me not to suffer. Could anybody help me not to suffer? Gee, I don't want to be guilty. I don't want to go to hell. You know, no, go to hell. Suffer. Get into the fire. You needed that. You're a spoiled brat. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. I knew that. I don't know. I picked that up in the spirit. So look at what it says here. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants, the people, because they have transgressed the laws, written on the heart, given from Moses, whatever, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. What does God want? Perfect people. What are you and I? What are you and I? Perfect people. Yeah, how? By faith. By the work of the Spirit. I am perfect. I am that I am that I am. Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus is in my heart. That makes all the difference. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to see it. I don't have to experience it. I just believe it. Did you know that faith is the victory that overcomes the world? I don't ever check with my emotions. I don't ever check with my mind. I don't ever check with my will. I don't ever check with my behavior. I don't check with anything of this earth. Why? It's all a lie. I just check with the Bible. The Bible says Jesus is in me. Okay. I never saw him get in. You know, I'm coming in to him, you know, and got in. You know, it just said it comes by hearing. Oh, came in through my ear. He came in my ear. So here he came in my ear. And it didn't even come in through my mouth or my, you know, or from my eyes. He came in my ear. Why? Because this word is written to be preached. It's good news. It's called the gospel. I tell you, it'll set everybody and everything free. I know I sound like a simpleton. I don't really care. Because I know whereof I speak. I don't care about all the brilliance of man because it's not. All the glory of man is dust, dirt, nothing. I don't buy it. I don't believe in it. And they don't either. That's the funny thing. Even they don't believe it. They're just saying words to fend off the inevitable. Everybody in the world knows they're guilty. Everybody is guilt reducing. Everybody is stressed. Everybody. That's why they're sick. I'm not sick. I'm not stressed. I never worry. Remember it says in the Bible, be not anxious. So I'm not. I didn't make myself not. I just heard it. Oh, I'm feeling anxious about that word. And it says, no, 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 Jim, don't worry about it. You're fine. Oh, praise the Lord. I just believe God. Did I make myself believe God? No. I heard it and I believed it. Did I make myself? No. I didn't force myself. I didn't try it. I didn't pray fervently. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. It's just, he wrote this thing to me just as I am, without one plea. He wrote to a guy sitting in chair one who had no hope whatsoever and who agreed to that. If there is a hell, people would say to me, you know, you're going to hell from the way you live. Really? Okay, cool. But could you get out of my way? Because right now I want to keep living the way I'm living. You know, it's like, I don't really care about all that threat stuff, you know, because it isn't going to change me at all. I am what I am. whatever I am, I am. Let God decide that. You say I'm going to hell. I don't know if I am or not. I don't really care. I just want to keep sinning. Now, if that's true, of course I'm going to hell. I'm not arguing with that. Of course, if there's a holy God, I'm not. Of course, I'm not arguing. And I never have. I have never thought, I hate God. I have never said that or thought that in my life. I hate God. He just is unfair. I've never said that or thought that. I've never thought that. I just thought he's irrelevant to me. I just want to sin. I mean, I know it's my guilt. I've never thought I'm innocent. I'm pure. He's the one that's guilty. I never reversed. That's chair two, by the way. Chair two will reverse the whole thing. The woman thou gavest me. He put the blame on God and excused himself. I've never done that. I've never said that. Even when I was a pagan, I just sinned. That's all. Just sin. And he loves sinners. He can't say, Jim, I love you. Hug me. God, don't get on me. I'll put snot on you. I'll get you dirty. Do y'all see that? But God said, no, I love you. Just the way you are. And I just read it in the book. And I just believed it. I said, you know what? Because I tried for years to avoid all that stuff. And then one day I just believed. I didn't know how it happened. I didn't make it happen. I didn't even pray that it would happen. I never wanted to be a Christian. Never wanted to be holy or good or just. Because I saw people that were. They were not that attractive to me. But I just fell in love. And immediately my life turned upside down. Immediately. David actually was in the church when this happened. I was a complete phony fake. He wouldn't have known that because I had phony faked it on the outside. But on the inside, I knew I was nothing. I had no faith. I had no warmth. I was cold as can be. But then one day, whoop, just the word did it. I fell in love just like that. Changed my life forever. Did you know if you're loved, love is the most powerful, powerful thing in the universe. And he loved me while I was a sinner. Because I was a sinner, and he separated sin from the sinner. He just said, Jim, you're a sinner, and I'm going to love you, but I hate your sin because I love you. Because I love you, I'm going to hate your sin, and I'm going to get rid of it. You trust me on this. Just trust me on this, Jim. Do I have to obey? Don't worry about that. Just trust me. Just come in. Come into this fire right here. Oh, it's going to burn me, I think. Yeah, it is. It's designed to do it. Just trust me. Didn't I love you while you were a sinner?
Yeah.
Do you want to come through this fire? No. Come on, Jim. You're not cooperating. Just come through. Trust me. Just trust me on it. And he never bawled me out. And I didn't trust him for 7 years. No, I'm not trusting you. I trust you for salvation. I'm not going to trust you for lordship. You're not going to be the Lord of my life. I'm the Lord. You're the Savior. Stay Savior. I'll stay Lord. He said, no, Jim. Let's change you. I don't want to. Okay. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And every day he'd come up and ask, would you like today to be a good Christian? No. I'm a good enough one right now. I have belief in you. I believe you love me just as I am without one plea. So that's the way I like the nice arrangement we have. I don't like the lordship part. I'm cutting that out of the Bible. I don't like that part. So God is good. God is great.